Okay, so thanks everyone for attending this session straight after lunch. My name is Kevin Green. I'm a System Center Cloud and Data Center Management MVP. I'm the CloudOS practice lead working for a company in Dublin, Ireland called Ergo. I've written a couple of books, Mastering System Center Operations Manager 2012 and most recently Mastering Windows Server 2012 R2. If you're on Twitter, if we're not connected already, there's my Twitter handle, at KGreenIT, and you can check out my blog, kevingreenitblog.blogspot.com. So, space mission objectives for today. Today we're going to talk about DevOps from an IT pro perspective. So we've had a lot of talk over the last couple of days around DevOps. The guys doing the keynote put their spin on it. It was a really, really good spin on DevOps, but I'm going to talk about it from my perspective as an IT pro. I'm going to talk about APM and Ops Manager, which is Application Performance Monitoring. I'm also going to talk about a relatively new monitoring offering from the public cloud up in Visual Studio Online called Application Insights. We're going to have a chat about the new Microsoft Monitoring Agent, and then demos. So please God, the demo gods will be kind to us today. So DevOps from an IT pro perspective. How many devs have we got in the room here? One. Okay, cool. So I'm taking it then, everyone else is an IT pro. Great. So if we talk about resolving issues with DevOps, this is probably a scenario that you've come across plenty of times in the past. Customer notices a problem, could be your end user, could be a customer, notices a problem with the application, and they inform operations. Yes, you might put your hand in your head if it's 2 or 3 in the morning and you have to get up and you have to resolve that problem. Then what happens? The inevitable conversation around, you know, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. Infrastructure's okay. Code's okay. So it's a stalemate. You know, there's no point in two different sides of ultimately, most likely, you're the same team. There's no point in the two of you stepping away from the problem. Somebody or something or some methodology, such as DevOps, has to step up and has to be able to bring a solution that everybody's happy with to the forefront. So this is a slide from a recent Gartner security conference. And it talks about just the people and process. What percentage of people and what percentage of process are responsible for downtime in applications? We can see there, you know, you've got 40% for application failure, as in that might be the dev side. You've got 40% for operator error, so that would be possibly the end users, or it could be the operations team. And then 20% for others, so infrastructure, you know, disaster, power. So that's quite useful information to know, because if you look at the dev and the ops side, typically, I mean, they're pretty close together in terms of if you want to have a blame game and you want to find out or you want to see who's responsible for dealing with a problem, it's pretty close to 40-40 there. So definitely need something that can bring the two different teams together and enhance how you deliver application management back to your business. So it's a three-stage conversation that you should be having. It's all about the people. So the people are the developers and the operations guys. So you need to work together a little bit more. We need to talk more. We need to integrate more. Process. How many people in this room know what ITIL is? Hands up. Awesome. How many people are actually using ITIL? Great. Okay, so a smaller portion using ITIL. So ITIL is just one aspect of IT process management. It's not the only aspect of it, but it's a good indicator about, you know, businesses and organizations using process to drive their application management across the organization. So if you're not implementing process, whether it's through your dev teams or whether it's through your IT pro teams or your operations teams, then it's definitely something you need to start thinking more about. What happens if? What do we do when? So on and so forth. Instead of being reactive, you can start becoming proactive. And, you know, it's all about, from using some dev, some development words, it's all about the application lifecycle management, or ALM. Products. So it's all well and good having good process, having good communication, but we need some pretty cool products to help us deliver that, if you like, close to 100% uptime and availability and performance of our business applications. So how can operations teams help with DevOps? Help accelerate the delivery. So, you know, don't be a blocker. I'm not saying anybody here is a blocker with the business, but if your dev teams come and say, listen, I need some VMs spun up in our private cloud, or I need access to the online Azure account so I can spin up some VMs there. You know, if we're separate teams and if there's like a miscommunication or a malcommunication between the two teams, then you know it's really going to delay delivery. So have the means in place whereby you can help accelerate delivery of your dev team's applications back into the public domain. Optimize resources. So as operations guys and girls, we're responsible for ensuring that the resources that we manage are running at an optimal at optimal levels. So, you know, using tools like System Center, whatever monitoring kind of capability you're using or management capabilities that you're using, you really, really need to leverage those tools to ensure that your resources that fall under your control are optimized to be able to maintain and sustain the applications that that your developers are looking to run on your infrastructure. Improve availability, so quite similar. You know, it's not just about, hey, you know, that application has been up all year. Don't come to me and say it's always broken. Have something that you can measure your SLAs or your service level agreements against. If you have issues with your infrastructure, going back to, say, point two in optimizing resources, if you think it's all well and good saying, you know, optimize my resources, but that cluster that I have there is like 6 years old, it's on its last legs, I can't support it, my management team won't give me sign off. Have something that you can go back, not necessarily to your boss, but your boss's boss, that you can report on, that you can say, listen, here are the facts. This application or this service has not been performing optimally, it has not been meeting the SLA for the business. As a matter of interest, how many people here, whether you follow process or whether you follow ITIL, how many people here are modeling their business applications as services, if you like, as part of a service catalog? But again, it doesn't have to be full ITIL process. So what I mean by that is, are you firstly aware of all the applications that are important to the business? When you're aware of them, that's your initial catalog. Are you aware of all of the components that that application or that service depends on? How many people are thinking like that on those lines in terms of grouping your components of your IT infrastructure in a state together and ensuring that you can see availability and performance and report on SLAs as single entities of those services? Any hands? Anyone doing something similar? Distributed applications and operations manager is one great way of doing it. Not the only way, but it's one great way of doing it. You know, and sometimes ops manager is definitely close to my heart. I've done an awful lot of ops manager deployments over the last number of years. And typically when we go into an engagement with a customer, if we go in and we talk, we have a workshop with the customer, we're going to talk to them and say, listen, list up all your applications, all your services that you as IT guys are responsible for back to the business. And most people can list them all off. And if they don't, they can go off and bring in the different business unit owners and sit down around a table and work out all the services. The hard part then is ensuring or finding out what all those subcomponents of those services are. When they get all those subcomponents together, they can then say, okay, there's the email service. The email service comprises Exchange, maybe a little bit of hybrid Exchange Online, Hyper-V hosts, SANs, network devices, so on and so forth. All of those subcomponents will roll up into one service. So you can then go to the CIO or the CFO or whoever you need to, and you can say, give me an SLA, a realistic SLA, that you expect the email service to stay available across a 12-month period or whatever the period may be. Of course, they'll always say 100%. It's not realistic. Give a realistic one. They want 100%? Grand. Give me an open checkbook. But if they give you a realistic SLA, using tools like System Center and other management tools, you can collate all that information and you can go back to them with that one service and that one report and say, here you go, over a 12-month period, 86% availability. So we've not met our SLA. Give me the budget. So certainly, if you're not doing that kind of management and that kind of monitoring and that kind of reporting and you're not thinking about that kind of process as IT pros or as operations teams, it's definitely something that I would recommend, because it will then help you to improve availability and ensure that you can meet the SLAs that are set out by the business. Increase application quality. So again, just by performing or working with your dev teams on the other three steps, it's going to ultimately increase the application quality. Certainly, your devs have a lot of work and responsibility to do there. Some of the APM stuff that we're going to talk about today and that I'm going to demonstrate to you will certainly help you help your devs. Might not like it sometimes if you go, hey, look at this piece of code. I don't really know what this means, but I know it's causing a problem. It can be really powerful, and it'll make your devs go, and it'll make them fix up the application. Or on the flip side, it could come back, and you know, the conversation where the dev and the ops are saying, it's not my fault, it's not my fault, it may well come back and say, there's nothing wrong with the code. There's an issue with the application infrastructure. Then it's back to you. Performing all of these different tasks and kind of working towards these different steps will definitely help you in your career progression. There's a lot of talk, there has been for a number of years, about particularly, like, we're at System Center Universe, so particularly with System Center, where is the future for System Center? It's all on-premise. What's going to happen if that goes up into the cloud? Is, you know, my job justification, is my role going to be justified enough for me to keep earning the salary I'm on, or to keep looking for new jobs with different companies, or to stay where I am? So it's all about keeping current. Any role in IT is all about keeping current. And if you start following process-driven management from an IT service perspective as an IT pro in your organization, I guarantee you, you will future-proof your career, because you will just move with whatever the new technology stack is. Doesn't matter what it's going to be in a few years. If you've got the process and you've got the management right nailed down, whatever the next generation of products is, we just slot straight into them. Okay, so application performance monitoring in Ops Manager. So show of hands again, please. How many people in the room have currently deployed Ops Manager 2012 or higher? Okay, majority, awesome. Hands up who has deployed in production or even in development the application performance monitoring feature, or even if you have experience with the old AVI code. Okay, even better. So this is great. So there's only about 4 or 5 hands went up there. So this is great. So application performance monitoring in Ops Manager, I'll just give you a very high level overview here. It has .NET and Java APM integrated into the product as out of the box. The .NET capability came about with a product called AviCode that I mentioned earlier. It's an acquisition that happened a number of years ago now. It's baked in, it works awesome. I'm gonna demonstrate the .NET capabilities today. I'm gonna stay away from the Java because I wanna keep it seamless. I'm gonna show you the on-premise APM with .NET through Ops Manager, and then we'll do the off-premise APM with Application Insights. So if you wanna talk about Java APM later, come up to me. I have a fully working environment, I can show it to you. You can play around with it and fire any questions you want. Reading from the list there, it's a comprehensive view on application health and activity. APM, and this is an important one, because if you talk to your devs about this, they may well say, whoa, I don't want this. It can be applied to your applications without source code modification. So you don't need to go to your devs and say, hey, got this really cool tool. We've already deployed Ops Manager. Or if you haven't deployed Ops Manager, if you've deployed any System Center product, as you may well know, the licensing for System Center 2012 for one product covers them all. So you go to your devs and you say, hey guys, let's rock. Let's throw this in. Let's be more agile. Let's get this going. First thing they'll probably say is, what do I need to do to my app? Because I ain't putting nothing in there. Understandably, to be fair. You know, if the devs I work with came to me and said, hey Kev, listen, we need to just drop into your Ops Manager data warehouse there and just, you know, make some changes, like, just because we're devs, I'll tell them to take a hike. So it's important. There's, you know, client-side and server-side monitoring. The server-side, no source code modification. The client side has a very small JavaScript entry. It doesn't add it into the source code. It just basically leverages it from a high-level perspective. But you can certainly add additional telemetry into applications to bubble that up. But out of the box, you know, particularly on the server side, there's no need for any source code modification. It's a low performance overhead. So it's a question I get asked quite a lot about APM. It uses the same agent that Ops Manager uses. So there's no, like, deploy the Ops Manager agent. Now deploy an APM, it's the same agent. When you deploy the Ops Manager agent, you get three Windows services, if we're talking about the Windows side of things, you get three Windows services in the services MMC snap-in. And those services, the health service is always enabled, but one of them is the APM service. And the APM service is disabled by default, but it's there. And if you light up this feature set inside of Ops Manager, it just starts that service. It will drop possibly a 5% CPU overhead load onto the current load of the Ops Manager agent. But there's already thresholds in place. If the health service for the Ops Manager agent reaches a certain threshold of CPU or memory utilization on any server or any client, it will just restart that health service. So there's safeguards in there. So very small performance overhead, as in 5%, maybe 10% on really, really old, slow systems, but very, very low performance overhead. And there's built-in analytics and reporting, and I'm going to show you some of that. You know, it's really cool having monitoring capabilities, but going back to SLA reporting, you need to be able to report that back to the business, either for yourself, for management, for other people in the team. You need to be able to report on it. Okay, so I'm going to drop into the demo. I'm going to sit down, and we're going to talk, or if you like, demo on-prem APM with Ops Manager. Okay, so I'm just doing a little bit of kind of scenario-based demo here. So if we think about a scenario whereby, let's say I'm a user, I'm working from home or I'm working in the office, and maybe I shouldn't be, but I access my social media app. Okay, this one here is just called Talking Heads. Okay, so let's pretend this is Facebook or whatever, right? So I go in here and I think, I'm gonna maybe log in, I'm gonna do some posts on this application, and I just got some pre-logged data there. We can see the performance of this application. Any of the applications that I'm demonstrating today, I can show you or give you access to the URLs later. They're all free. They're designed specifically for testing application performance monitoring. They're not designed for real-world use, but they're great for testing APM because we're not devs. The majority of us are not devs, so it would be pretty hard and awkward for me to try and figure out how to insert code into applications that I'm not familiar with. So these applications here help. So notice this has taken a while. It's completely intentional, right? It's intentional that these applications give errors that are slow because the back end is that it's going to generate some information back to us. So I'm going to do a new post. I'm going to go, what's up? All right, I'm going to go. Okay, and I might just add in a picture. We'll add in Yoda again. Make it visible to all my friends, and this is great. I'm getting paid for browsing, my social media app, okay? And I might do another one. I might go, yo, and I might say, hello, and I'm not gonna add a picture. I'm just gonna go there. Oh, something happened. That's not cool. Application seems a little bit awkward, a little bit slow. I'm just gonna try and do some search. So this is just going, it's not good. So in my head, I'm thinking, I don't know whether it's the internet or, I don't know what the problem is, but it's definitely slow. So while I'm waiting on that to load, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to order some food for myself because I'm pretty hungry and I'm working overtime here and I'm getting paid for browsing my social media apps. And sure, why not? I may as well just order some food from my local Dinner Now online food delivery company. So again, I'm clicking on this, and this is pretty slow as well. I'm now thinking in my head, maybe it's the internet connection, but hey, I'm hungry, so I'm going to hang on here while this opens up. I'm going to come back to that one in a sec, and this has come back, and we'll just do a search for anything here. It doesn't really matter. Very slow. So I'm definitely thinking there's a problem with my application here. Like the application and my dinner ordering system, that's quite slow. So I think I might have to log a ticket with my provider, my internet provider, if this doesn't get better. Oh, hang on, dinner's back. Awesome. Okay, cool. Let me just see. Right, so I want to go dinner. I go American. I want it, in the next 30 minutes. Definitely a bit slow. I would go bar and grill. Could have done with this food last night, actually, now I have to say. Anyway, whoa, these prices are expensive. Definitely like Switzerland. Okay. Sorry, anybody from Switzerland, but it's true. Okay, so I'm going to add some of these things in here. Awesome soda, $10 for a soda. Whoa, that's a bit steep. Fruit salad, yeah, and why not? And then, look, sure, we may as well have sweet caramel at $30. We'll have two of them just to keep us through the night. Okay, so I'm going to check that out. Okay. Oh, that's a problem. That didn't seem right. I'm going to have to maybe try and log in here. So, again, we can see, again, these are all these errors are intentional. Just give me a sec. This is a pretty cool app. It was a bit of a pain to get set up because it's built on legacy. But you know, we'll just set it up here. Screw it. Okay, I've forgotten the password. Let me just register it. Sure, it's all scenario-based. This can be quite useful. Not for this. Okay, what do we call it? Yoda. And password. Sorry, Christian. It's not Barcelona. Okay, cool. I've registered. That's awesome. I'm signed in as Yoda. Perfect. Right, so I've placed my order. Have I? Let's just go through the process again. Oh, won't do anything. I'll just throw one quick thing in here. Oh, same order. Remember that. Brilliant. $100? Jesus. It's definitely the price of Switzerland. Okay. So we can see this is quite slow. My Talking Heads application is slow. I'm definitely not happy here. I can put in my details. Let's go to one we made earlier just to make this easier. So let's drop scenarios and just present or change scenarios. And let's just pretend that we are the vendor who has taken my order, okay? And we won't because I've dropped into the wrong view. 2 seconds. Yeah, here. Okay. So the guy at the American Bar and Grill is sitting there waiting on my order to come in. So he's, if you like, on the client side. So he opens up or has his order management system sitting up on his screen. You can see a grid view here of all of the different orders that have come in. Darth Vader, Scoo. So we'll use the Scoo one. That was the one I was trying to open up earlier. So let me see. We'll just interact with this a little bit. Okay, there's the information. I'm going to change the status. That's out for delivery, which is a bit slow. It's not accepting that for me. So that's a bit of a bug on the client side. It's all the info. Maybe I want to track the order. I want to have a look. It's a pretty cool demo app, this, to be honest. When I started playing around with it, it's pretty good. I can track the order. So, grand. So there's enough activity there for our scenario, right? So back to the lazy worker. So lazy worker is waiting on his food. He's definitely got a problem here. He's not happy. So what he's thinking is, you know what? I'm the IT guy. I'm going to ring up Fabricam Fiber, who's our ISP. They're providing internet. I'm going to ring up. I've got this, you know, login, these login credentials that I can get onto their system, their support system, and log a ticket. I'm going to go in here. So let's create a new ticket. Doesn't really matter what it is. One slow. I'm gonna escalate that all the way up because I really want to do my social media help. And these type of scenarios, these are typical. Like if you use an application performance monitoring, you know, there's an understanding there that you have to be able to manage that service the same way that your end users are using or interacting with it. So there's no point in you saying, okay, I know all about the infrastructure. It's not the infrastructure's fault. And the dev guy saying it's not the code's fault. So when you understand all of the different processes that, you know, how users interact, how multiple users, whether it's the admin, whether it's the client side, it makes a lot more sense. So there's a ticket. Maybe I want to run a report here. Oh, an error occurred. That's not cool. Right, grand. So moving out of the scenario, let's go back. Let's put our monitoring hats on. We'll open up Scomdis or Ops Manager 2012 or two. So, how many people know or have heard the term 360-degree monitoring? How many people, keep your hands up, have actually seen it working? Okay, cool. To be fair, there's different interpretations of it. So, with Ops Manager, you can have, well, we can do the whole 360-degree monitoring view of a service application. So, if we think of an application that the business owns. In this case here, I'm going to use a conceptual application called DinnerNow 360. And this application here, if you think of all the different components that you need to have visibility of to ensure that, you know, you're pushing through DevOps methodology, and you know you're being agile, as we talked about yesterday. So you need to have the tools, as we spoke about in a previous slide, ready and at your disposal to be able to manage that application. So Ops Manager has a number of capabilities outside of APM. I'm not going to go too deep into them now. I will show you some of the 360 capabilities though. This is our DinnerNow application here. We can see SLA is just on the application performance, its availability, reliability, so on and so forth. I can drop into an application summary dashboard, so I can get some information here around the specific application and all of its different components. That's pretty cool. There's the customer portal for the application. Maybe I want to drop over and I want to see how that application, if this was an application that we had delivered or that we're delivering and managing for our global customer base, maybe we want to have access to capability that can monitor that application, just its availability, maybe some basic performance metrics from different points around the world. So hands up, global service monitor. Anybody seen it in action? Apart from my MVP friends, of course. great, okay, so Global Service Monitor is an augmented system center solution that you're fully entitled to if you own software assurance licensing with System Center, okay? And again, just to show you this capability, we could open up a summary map here. We can say, okay, applications, I wanna see who's accessing my application. Well, not necessarily who, sorry, but I wanna see how my application is being accessed around different points in the world. And Microsoft are using their Azure data center points or endpoints to meet this offering. So let's say, where's this one? Is in Zurich, I think. Open that one up, and I can see that's looking pretty good there. That's fine. I'm happy enough with that. Maybe this guy. Yeah, so, I mean, Global Service Monitor integrated in is pretty cool. Maybe I want to drop and have a look at a detailed dashboard list. And these capabilities are relevant because when we do the public cloud demo, you'll see some of these bubbling up there. So let's have a look at our customer portal from a Zurich perspective. There's all of our different transaction times, content times. And this information may or may not be useful to you. I suppose it's not hugely useful if everything's green because, you know, well, you know it's working. But if you have customers who are complaining about slow performance from, I don't know, the Asian side of the world, or maybe Australia, whereas everybody else is saying it's absolutely fine. Well, you can set up a global service monitor for each country. That there's, I think we're up to about 13 or 14 different demographics that we can use in GSM. And you can basically just set your thresholds and set your transaction time monitors to get that information back into Ops Manager, okay? So again, not strictly APM, but capabilities that are relevant to our demo later, and just wanted to show you the 360 capabilities of Ops Manager, because underneath the hood, here we're also seeing things like the management packs for SQL, Hyper-V, Exchange, whatever components are being monitored by Ops Manager, they're all bubbled up into that particular service or single entity as well. So back to our APM stuff. So DinnerNow, I've got this in with on-premise APM. So over here, I'm going to click on Active Alerts. Whoa. All right, this is intriguing. I've got loads of alerts in here that are relevant to my DinnerNow application. If I have a look at some of my other ones, I can see this is a Fibrecam Fiber. That's the on-premise one. This is our Talking Heads one. The one, well, there's loads there. So it's clear that we have an application performance problem with both our DinnerNow and our Talking Heads ones. So if we have a look at, say, the DinnerNow application, we had some client-end issues as well. So if we go to DinnerNow, we can see we've got different types of exceptions and problems. It's a server connectivity exception. So this is like server-side application performance monitoring. If we drop into this here, zoom in a little. So you can see dinner now, staging. So you can have, if you have different, or if your dev teams have different iterations of your application, they might have staging, like pre-production, UAT, whatever way you want to call it, production. You can have different APM monitors and APM dashboards and views specific for each instance of that application in your environment, which is really useful. Because you can, you know, give the guys, maybe as they're developing the application, you can give them access using the Ops Manager built-in role-based access control. You can give them access to this and say, look, you know, use this to complement your debugging and, you know, your application triage issues while you're also using your probably Visual Studio and IntelliTrace and things like that. So in here, we can see there's a bit of information, an exception of type system.data.sqlclient.sqlexception, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me at the moment because I'm an IT pro. I'm going to click on this little link here. So when you deploy the application performance monitoring feature of Ops Manager on-premise, you get access to the application diagnostics and the application advisor consoles and UIs, if you like, that were ultimately part of the original AviCode acquisition. So in here, we can see some information around this particular exception, a network-related or instance-specific error occurred, provider name, pipes. So again, this type of stuff that your dev guys are going to be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. We can see here, .NET SQL client data provider. So you go back to your guys, your dev guys, and say, here, look, I'm going to open up the complete stack for you. I'm going to send this information over to you. You can extract this into Visual Studio and IntelliTrace format, and you can hand it to them, or they can have access to this through the usual role-based access control, and they can get straight in. So that particular one there is pretty straightforward. Give it to them. There you go. There's the problem. It's server-side. Go deal with it. If we go back to the issue on the client side, whereby maybe the owner of the Dinner Now shop who had the slow performance on his side, or maybe it was the talking heads where, you know, it's like really slow from their side. You got to investigate that a little bit more. And that's where you're using your client-side performance monitoring, or APM. So if we open up here, we can clearly see this is defined as client performance exception. And we can see, I'll zoom in there just for you guys. Client page, you know, dinner now, default ASPX is slow at server response time. Okay? Right. So let me get some more information around that. Okay, so I open up this here, and this is giving me a nice, cool, easy on the eye diagram of exactly what's happening or where the slow response is. So I can see server response time, 92.25%. So essentially, it's confirming what the customer has already complained about, that there is definitely a client-side performance issue, and it's the server response time getting back. But we need more information on this. So again, just clicking through here, I can have a look and see, is this a frequent issue? Has this happened a lot of times, or is it a once-off? Maybe if there was a backup running, or maybe if there was something happening, maybe a failover or something. You can see here in similar events, you can set your scope for your date and time to ascertain how often it's happened over any given specific window. We can see session events here, so we can see, okay, so there's the client request up here, the client call, sorry, and then there's the server-side call there. So that's given us a little bit more information. We can also see things like distributed chains. So we can see this is the client-side error, and this here is the server-side error. So if we clicked on that one, that then links straight in to some more info. So it's here now that I really have the tools for this client-side performance monitoring issue that I can go to my devs and say, hey, guys, look, they're 14.836 milliseconds it's taken for that page to open. You can see that that's certainly an issue. Let's drill down here a little bit more. Now we're talking. We go in, we can see that WCF, dinnernow.web.ux, menu search service, whatever. That's where the problem is. So I go to my devs and say, you fix that, problem solved. Does that make sense? Yeah? Cool? Yeah? geeky, I know, but again, we need, as IT pros, we need to have this tool set to be able to have those conversations around DevOps with our developer friends. Okay, so let's just say, sticking briefly with APM, I just want to show you, again, the importance of reporting. So if we want to open up, I'll just open up here, and we'll go Application Advisor. Not to be confused with System Center Advisor, which is the online monitoring capability that Microsoft currently have in preview. This is Application Advisor that comes as part of the on-premise APM capability of Ops Manager. So this is quite useful as well from a reporting perspective. So there's over 30 reports that are in here. It's out of the box when you deploy Ops Manager. It just installs with the web console. If we wanted to get a report, application performance analysis, for example, we could click here. We can put in, again, date and time. You know, I might say, give it from the 1st of September, and do it for, let's say, I don't know, our Talking Heads production application. You can change some more metrics. And these are pre-baked reports. There's a lot of customization you can do in these, or you're probably just going to make use with what you have here. So in here, then, we can see loads of nice graphs around percentage and most frequent, top five most frequent performance violations, all that useful information, which, again, will only reinforce the conversation that you're having with your developer teams. Instead of saying, hey, man, it's the code. Go fix it. You say, guys, look, it's the code. Here's a report that shows the top five resource issues, performance issues. You know, what else do you need from me? And if that's not enough, come sit down with me. We'll open up the Ops Manager APM capability together. And I've done this in the past with our dev teams. I'm like, explain what, you know, MVC means, or what's that mean, or what's that mean? And the guys are like, whoa, I didn't realize you could do this. This is brilliant. You know, and this type of scenario, we've solved real-world customer problems using this tool set. We've had customers where, you know, they were hosting, we were hosting infrastructure for them, but third parties had developed .NET applications and were running, one of them was an extranet, and customers blaming the infrastructure, same story. We were saying, no, it's the application, and we put this in, with their consent, of course, we put this into their environment, and within, I think, about 8 or 9 hours, we had the reason, and there was no argument. They couldn't, there's a report, there's the info, there's the stack from IntelliTrace, you can kind of go further into it. And it's why I really enjoy presenting on DevOps sessions using APM, because I can really see the value, like when you can go back and have that conversation and push it back on the relevant team and say, seriously, guys, this is what we need to do to ensure that application performs at its most optimal levels. Okay, on-premise, APM, all good? Great. Okay, so introduction to Application Insights. So I'll stand up for a sec. So Application Insights, as I mentioned, is Microsoft's online cloud-based monitoring solution. It doesn't have all of the capabilities of Ops Manager, but from an APM perspective, it's getting pretty close to it. So we can see there, it's accessed through Visual Studio Online. I only started using Visual Studio just for Application Insights. I never had an account with it previously. I've installed Visual Studio, the full version, on my laptop and on some of my servers, mainly just use that for Ops Manager management pack authoring, but most of the rest of it goes over my head. But it's all fully integrated from an Application Insights perspective up into Visual Studio Online. So there's four core pillars similar to Ops Manager. You've got your availability, you've got your performance, you've got your usage, and you've got your diagnostics. It's agent-based, or it can be agent-less, or it can be telemetry-driven. So the agent-less piece would be similar to Global Service Monitor, where you're basically taking a synthetic transaction and you're saying, look at that URL, go tell me if it's up, go tell me how long it took to connect to it, give me that info back. Agent-based is actually sitting on the server that's running that application. Whether it's up in a cloud, whether it's on-premise, once it's got connectivity back into Visual Studio Online, it'll just surface up a lot more information. And telemetry-driven is where you're essentially adding a small bit of code into an application that really, really brings a lot of information up to the forefront in dashboards. So very useful. And again, familiar DevOps capabilities to Ops Manager. Okay, so straight into the demos here. How many people are familiar with Application Insights, by the way? Any? Okay. Right, great. I love dashboards. I love visualizations. I love being able to say, right, here's the information that I'm getting from my monitoring tool. But here's, like, we could make do with, you know, basic reports or basic alerts. But realistically, people want to see nice dashboards, nice, cool, big, fancy dashboards. So Application Insights, to a very good degree, delivers on that. So let's just drop in again. AI. Right, so close these guys here. And we'll open up Visual Studio Online. So the thing here is you don't need to be a developer or an MVP to get access to Visual Studio Online. And the pricing we can see just up the top here. So you just sign up with your, you know, Microsoft Live account. Pricing, how many people like free, yeah? I love free stuff, love it, okay? So you can play around with this free for up to 5 users with the Application Insight stuff, okay? The on-premise APM stuff, that comes as part of your normal System Center license stack, so that there's no extra cost for that. But Visual Studio Online, Application Insights, you can get that for free, up to 5 users. So when you're logged in to Visual Studio Online, just sign up. I've got a URL at the end of this deck. I've got a URL with the resources and with some additional resources and information. You can sign up there. You get access to this screen here, and down the bottom, you'll see Try Application Insights. We click on this. Obviously, my one's pre-configured already, but if you click on it for the first time, a little wizard comes up and will walk you through what you can do, what you can't do. These dashboards here are just ones that I've just pinned information from. They're not the uber cool dashboards I was talking to you about, although they can be quite useful. So as we navigate through the AI or the Application Insights environment, I will show you where you can literally say, whoa, that's cool, pin that to my home screen, if you like. So it's essentially, this is really like a shortcut or quick access area if you had specific information or specific data in AI that you wanted to see quickly without drilling right the way through. Okay, so up here, again, I can see in my summary dashboard, this is for the Fabricam application. This particular instance of Fabricam is up in, or Fabricam Fiber is sitting on a VM up in Microsoft Azure. It doesn't matter where it is. If you want to use AI, all you have to do is ensure that AI can communicate with the app. It can be on your own premises. It can be up. As I say, there's telemetry-based, agentless-based, and agent-based monitoring capabilities that come with AI. But for this one here, that the application that I'm showing you, it's an app that's sitting on a VM, a very low-level VM, in full, you know, full view to the world of an instance up on Azure. So we can see here, you know, I've no active alerts. I've got exception events. I've got all this pretty cool stuff here. So we'll start with availability, okay? So we go into availability for this application. We can see here, this is the agentless side of it. So this is similar to a global service monitor. Or without GSM, you've got capability inside Ops Manager that you can deploy an agent to a server, maybe sitting out in a DMZ or, you know, an extranet or whatever, and you can run synthetic transactions against that. You can basically say, here's a URL, give me that information back. So so in here, you know, you've got your availability information. It's important as you're navigating around Application Insights that you pay attention to the date range. A couple of times I got caught out here, I was like, wow, that application should be a lot busier. And I realized that, you know, because it remembers your last setting, and I might have had it set to like past error or something like that. But, you know, it's pretty quick, it's pretty dynamic. You can change this on the fly. Dashboards update themselves pretty easily, unlike our Dinner Now and our Talking Heads. We can see here in the last 7 days, we had an outage there. That was actually when I restarted the VM. But again, if I didn't know that, this is pretty useful. I can have this information here. And you can also, I won't demonstrate how to do it now, but you can get Application Insights to email alerting information back to you. So you can configure it with for email alerting. So that's pretty useful too. You don't have to be consistently logged into this console or looking at these type of dashboards to get the information. And you know, you can configure this pretty easily. You can just add in new single URL test or multi-step web tests. I won't go too much into detail on that just yet. But if we have a look at, say, I'll go back to my overview dashboard actually, just so we can keep it kind of streamlined. If we have a look here at maybe performance now. So we want to see, okay, so I want to get a little bit more information out of this Fabricam application, okay? So what can it give me? Okay, here's some more info here. This is like response time and load versus dependencies. Top 10 slowest requests by issue count. This type of information can be quite useful. And you know, as you're navigating through Application Insights, you know, most of these have hot links where you can kind of click through them and you can drill in. You can get, I won't go through them just yet because I want to kind of stay on track, but you can click through them here and you can get straight to where you see a potential application performance issue. Again, you can tweak your days, maybe the last 48 hours, and you can see the dashboards be pretty quick in updating themselves and changing their different values and their different metrics. So if we say, well, actually, look, I will click through. So let's say exceptions rate here, or network, okay? So we click on a network here. So I noticed a spike in the network value, so we have a quick look. Okay, network value here, network IO on this specific date. It's a little higher than usual. Okay, so I wonder, was there any problems? So we see here, with this application, we had some exception events. So if we click on exception events to navigate through, and you can see, it, like if you had a touch device, you know, obviously Microsoft have all the tiles, it's all touch friendly. Now we can see some more information here that starts to get quite familiar if you're used to, or if you've seen application performance monitoring on-premise with Ops Manager. So if I say click on one of these guys, just double click on it. This opens up here. The controller for path robots.txt was not found or does not implement iController. Okay, so a bit of info there. Again, Fabricam Fiber is an application that's designed with bugs in it, so intentionally there's problems. We can see here, this is all very, very familiar now, right? It looks identical to the on-prem, well, pretty identical to the on-prem APM, right? You can get all the information. You know, and again, we're taking this from the IT pros perspective. So if we go back and we say, well, you know, what about our poor dev friends? We've got this download IntelliTrace. Now, of course, your devs can have access. Most likely your devs, if they don't know about Visual Studio Online and Application Insights, it's definitely worth having a conversation with them. But let's say we just get the IntelliTrace info here for this particular exception, right? And we really want to be helpful to our friends. So let's say we have it here. I'm just going to copy this over to my desktop briefly, drop it there. So you could just email this to your dev guys, but let's say your dev guy gets it, just double click, Visual Studio opens up, bang, there you go. Now, dev guys, now you have it in your world. So we've used our tool set and the tool sets that we can both access and we both have management over our capabilities for, and we've taken the information or extracted the information out of there and handed it back to you without even having to play around with Visual Studio ourselves, okay? So that's a pretty useful and very neat feature of Application Insights, okay? So we go back out of here. We can dig in a little bit more. So again, I'll go back to my overview just to keep on track. So from here, we've looked at availability, we've looked at performance, we can see our app metrics, and these dashboards can be, you know, you can tweak these dashboards for like last 6 months, last year, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Going into metrics here, we're gonna see pretty much similar information around the networking. See our insights and our availability, more performance events, no memory events there. Average response time. So this is all pretty good. You can see configure alert. So this would be somewhere that you'd configure an email alert if you wanted with that specific threshold. You know, send it there to that address, which is pretty cool. You can then just drop straight into the events area, which is where we saw earlier. And you can really, really dig deep. Now, I'm going to show you an area which is my favorite for Application Insights. So if you're managing particularly web-based applications for your users, your dev teams, or your customers, it's often very handy and very useful to know how your customers and your end users have been interacting with that application. So you could go back to your devs and say, hey, dev guys, how about you design an app for that particular website? Why don't you design a Windows Phone app or an iPhone app or whatever for that website? And they might be like, nah, there's not really any need for doing that. You can say, well, okay, well, hang on. Let's go to usage in Application Insights. And let's say we want to see what usage that application is getting. OK, Okay, so we can see here there's a daily trend of users and sessions. We can see the relative percentage of sessions. Like, this information is like gold when it comes to developers, because it gives them a drive as to where maybe they should focus their next sprint, their next development sprint, or maybe where they're putting too much effort into, maybe they can scale it back a little bit. You can see in here all of your different percentages of sessions. You've got all the different websites, the pages around the application and activities. You'd see just sessions here if you wanted. You've got top pages. Which can be quite useful. We've got page views. And it could be just for this particular usage area that you use Application Insights for. You might just decide, you know what, we've got on-premise APM, we're happy enough with that, we've got the Ops Manager agent on our application servers, we don't need AI per se, but you know, you can't get this usage info from Ops Manager. So this could be a really good segue, if you like, into Visual Studio Online. And you know, you can, again, change your dates and times, you can tweak these, you can go right back, so you can get your kind of your metrics back from as far back as, I actually don't know if there's a limit on it. I've been going back like a year in some cases. Not the easiest on the eye, but you know, there's capabilities there. You could say, I don't want to see users or sessions, I just want to see activities. Whatever way you want to do it. You can do a start and end date, so it doesn't have to be the be all and end all. It can be just like a week. Just go here, I'll go back to today. Some slowest requests. Again, back to talking about APM. What are the slowest requests? So you can see your average load time. PLT is page load time. So the reports one, do you remember the one that bombed out on us earlier when we clicked on reports on the Fabricam Fiber? That's that particular page request coming in here. And then you can drill even further into it. So you can get more insights around the metrics for that particular application and that particular page. And that's really, really useful. So when this finishes. So another area in the usage, again, which is very, very handy and useful, is around the users and the environment. So I said about the iPhone apps or the Windows Phone apps. We'll just move on. Oh, there it is. It's just getting all the info back there. So actually, that's a useful one. Here's one there where you can then change your duration on the fly. You can see these dashboards change based on what way you want. So it's really dynamic. It's not like static dashboards that, you know, take ages to load, and then when they're there, like, you know, a refresh kills them off. It's really dynamic and very, very useful and end user friendly. So if we go to sticking with usage, and we have a look at users, actually environment I'll have a look at. So in here, we've all these options like operating systems, screen resolutions, networks, things like that. I'll go back a little bit on this because it's useful to see. As I say, this is a live application. So I'll go back, I'll go back around March. Okay. So let's say, right, applications. Operating systems, we can see Windows 8, Windows 7, 8.1. Screen resolutions, that might be useful information there. So you can see the different screen resolutions that are hitting your application. Networks, have I got that one configured? I don't. Browsers, always a very useful one. All your different browsers. Again, this is the live application. This is that one here, the Fabricam Fiber Public. I've got this. I've got a series of configuring application insights on my blog. I've got a URL at the end of this deck that I'll give people. But this has been live, and as people are hitting my blog series and following through the steps, it's taking the information and the usage data real time, and it's dropping in here. Really useful. So I can say, okay, languages, for example. So, you know, demographically, what countries are hitting my application? Now, I could just point this at my blog if I wanted, or, you know, it's at my Fabricam Fiber. It's just a URL, right, or a web application. I can see there all the different languages, activities, you know, very, very useful. And that type of info can be, as I say, like gold when you go back to your developers and they're looking for new information. You know, you're being more agile. You're all sitting around the table. Everyone's friendly again, and nobody's blaming each other. And everyone's saying, okay, this is great. You know, we really, really love this stuff. So how can we now make our application better. You hear people talking when they mention DevOps and ALM and application lifecycle, they talk about continuous improvement or continual improvement. This could be a method of continual improvement. Maybe if in this particular area here, there was a huge, you know, language that the business didn't foresee is hitting it on a regular basis, maybe they might think of having a secondary option of the website in that particular language. One last thing is to show you about the Fabricam here. That's one application. You can drop down and have any application, any number of applications in here that you want. That's just one that I was showing you. I think this is a test one that I did some load balancing on. So load balance test. You can see here like a million activities, but it's pretty cool. So your devs will love this if you give them some access to it. What do we think? Cool? Good? Yeah? All right. Again, if you want to talk to me about this after, just come up. Okay. Nearly there. Right. So Microsoft Monitoring Agent. So with Ops Manager 2012 R2, you got a change to the on-premise Ops Manager Agent. It was called the Operations Manager Agent. It's now called the Microsoft Monitoring Agent, okay? In my view, this is the missing link for monitoring. So how do we bring it all together? Currently, my demos have been separate. I'm not trying to fool people into thinking that, you know, it's all been the one seamless, integrated, full demo. I mean, it is if you're talking about 360 monitoring, but I can't, at the moment, take the AI information and drop that back into my Ops Manager environment. But you would think that'd be really useful, right? Right? Okay. So the new Ops Manager agent that, as I say, comes with 2012 R2, it's multi-talented, okay? So it's used for monitoring the on-premise stuff with Ops Manager. System Center Advisor, again, not to be confused with Application Performance Monitoring Advisor, but System Center Advisor, which is currently in preview, that uses the exact same agent, Microsoft Monitoring Agent. Application Insights, if you deploy an agent from AI, that uses the Microsoft Monitoring Agent too, the exact same one. Not a second instance of it, the exact same one, okay? And developers can also use the Microsoft Monitoring Agent completely standalone. So they can take that agent, they can stick that onto one of their IIS servers or web application servers, and they can use that with some, there's four PowerShell commandlets that it surfaces, and they can use those PowerShell commandlets to communicate with the application and extract and teletrace data similar to the file that I copied and dropped in. They can do the exact same. And look, just to show you, there's the installation of the new Microsoft Monitoring Agent. This particular screen here is from the one from Application Insights. So if you go, if you RDP onto your Ops Manager environment now and you have a look at your agent, you won't see these two options just yet. But this is what's coming, right? As you can see at the top, Visual Studio Online Application Insights, System Center Operations Manager. So, you know, I don't know any more than you guys about what's coming ahead, but, you know, if I was to speculate, why have those options in there unless you're thinking about maybe integrating them in? So how to get started, right? So very simply, if you're thinking, whoa, this is pretty big, I like the Ops Manager stuff, I'm going to go and roll that out pretty quickly, I'm going to go and download the Talking Heads and Dinner Now, no problem, great. But this AI stuff, how do I introduce this? Well, go start with the basic availability. That was the very first one, that's like Global Service Monitor. Just use that, target it to your production web applications or maybe your personal blog, whatever you want. And when you get comfortable with that, deploy the Microsoft Monitoring Agent from AI. Deploy that to your web application servers. You get that information with the dashboards and the percentages and the exception info. You get all that back. Then drill further into it using the Microsoft Monitoring Agent. You get your application usage as well. Then you can get really funky, and you can add in some telemetry data. So it's essentially a small bit of code that is on the Application Insights web portal. It would basically say, if you want to add telemetry data, just click here, copy this, drop it into this spot on your website, and you know, a few hours later, you get that data in. So start small, aim high. Okay, so if you want to learn more, I've, as I mentioned a number of times, it was a really good learning experience for me. I find when I'm taking on some new stuff, I always like to get really deep into it and write a blog on it. This slide deck, along with the rest of them, will be fully available online. The guys are going to make it online the next day or so. So blog series on Application Insights, I highly recommend. If you want to get started, follow that through. Not to get hits on my blog, but it's the place I would go to if I had to start this again, right? Okay, it's like a 7 or 8 part series. Pete Serger, who was presenting the keynote yesterday, he is in the middle with a number of his colleagues from Infront of putting together a totally awesome series called 100 Days of DevOps. And so far, there's very little of what I've showed you. So DevOps is a very wide, broad-ranging kind of methodology. So it's really, really useful, and I totally recommend that you follow that. There's the link for Visual Studio Online Application Insights. And also, slight shameless plug, but I've just recently tied in with Savagin, and we've written a white paper called From Dev to the Data Center. It's very high level, but if you're looking to get something to bring back to your companies or to your devs to say, look, this is the type of stuff that we can do, we're already licensed for it, that white paper, have a look. It's only about 10 pages. So that's it. Feedback, I would totally appreciate if you can fill out the feedback forms. Please be kind, but if there's anything that you think you want to give constructive criticism about how I'm presenting or the content, by all means, that will make us better presenters. So, questions? Anybody any questions, or have I spoken enough? No? Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great conference. That's me done. See you in the pub tonight.